Hi, I'm Peter Gilmore, and you're listening to the Crest of the Wave podcast from RYA Northern Ireland. When you say the word sailor, it's hard to come up with a single image in your mind. And that's because from cruising to racing, inshore to offshore, it really can be a sport for anyone. And if any pair champion this message absolutely, it's Ken Curry and Gary Crothers. Together they run Foyle Sailability Centre, which helps people of all abilities get out on the water. Over the years they've seen and acted as living proof that sailing can be for anyone. Gary has sailed twice across the Atlantic with one arm, so is able to tell me what it's like to winch yourself up the mast with one hand in ocean swell. No mean feat by anyone's standards. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Gary Crothers and Ken Curry, thanks very much for coming on the Crest of the Wave podcast. How are things?
We're good. We're just enjoying this miserable weather.
Yeah, I've made the trek up to Derry and I can't say I'm regretting it. The company's been lovely, but... Yeah.
You didn't bring any sun with you, Peter, that's all.
No, certainly wasn't packing my sun cream. But Ken, you're secretary of Foyle Sailability, and Gary, you're chairman.
I'm the chairman, yeah, for my sins.
For your sins.
I'm hoping to get retired very, very shortly. I'm 68. I mean, I'm past it, well past it. We need younger blood in now.
I'm 24 and I was past it about 6 years ago. But for those who maybe don't know what sailability is, Ken, what's sailability?
Sailability is, well, our ethos here is to try and get as many people who have disabilities or are disadvantaged out on the water as much as we can. And I get dragged into it, because of Gary Crothers and a few others as well, because I knew nothing about sailability and was dragged into sailing a dinghy whenever Bob Harper and all the guys from Carrickfergus came down. Because of that, and because we saw the enjoyment that all the people who had disabilities, the enjoyment that they were getting out on the water, we became actually hooked on it ourselves. And for our sins, we're still here so many years later and bogged down in it now at the moment. And I actually probably do more work with sailability than I do with my actual job.
So really, it's giving people with varying disabilities the opportunity to get out on the water in whatever form. Yeah. Would you say that's fair?
Absolutely, yeah. And we do try and encourage as many of them as they can to get out sailing. There are occasions whenever their groups come out and if the group's quite large, we literally just take them out for a run in the boats, and to be fair, a lot of them are quite happy with it. But as Gary will confirm, you know, there's a group of maybe sort of 8 or 9 very regular disabled sailors with us who
up here in the foil.
Yeah, up in the foil, yeah, and they would be very keen to get out sailing as much as they can.
So Ken touched there a wee bit of how he got into sailability, and Bob Harper giving him a drag into it. But really, can you expand on that a bit, Gary? How did the pair of you get involved in it?
Well, I got roped into it. Everybody seems to get roped into sailability. Well, I got roped into it through my own disability. I had a bad motorcycle accident in 2009. I was in hospital over Christmas 2009. To January 2010, you know, and I'd been a lifelong sailor. I'd sailed all sorts of dinghies and raced keelboats and stuff, you know. I'd been a RYA judge at one time and just loved sailing. And after the motorcycle accident, which left me nearly dead, I had a very, very long recovery time, and foil sailability didn't exist then. But somebody, I don't even know who it was probably Bob Harper, was instrumental in getting, I think he was the RYA sailability coordinator at that time, and he was tasked with expanding the sailability in Northern Ireland. So he visited us, a bunch of interested sailors, and myself, I was dragged along with my mate, Kieran McAllister, who's still a long time supporter for Foyle Sailability. in the days where we were just looking for charitable status and trying to get funding together to get our first boat, you know. And Belfast Lock Sailability were very kind in that they ran a regatta for us up in the Foyle here and brought up boats. They brought up a safety boat as well and got us out in the water. And basically that's how I got started on it. But going back to my disability,
can you just explain what your disability is now?
Well, like I said, I was left for dead and all sorts of broke all my ribs, torn an artery in my lung, broke all my face, broke my arm, and numerous injuries, pneumothorax. And I was at the end of that. Once I got out of hospital in January 2010, I was left with a flail arm. The arm my left arm would just hang like a piece of string, and it was in constant pain, huge pain. I couldn't even explain to the depth of the pain that I was under, and the medication that I had to take at that time was massive, which left you dumb and disheveled, unable to operate or whatever. And Sailability was starting up, and I got involved in it, and really it was a lifesaver for me, you know. Whenever I became disabled, I was obviously in my middle ages when I lost my arm, the mental aspect of being disabled was very, very hard to cope with. That combined with the constant pain 24/7 was kind of highlight enough the struggle that I had with the mental aspect of it. The physical aspect was hard enough, but the mental aspect was 10 times harder. But like I say, it was Bob Harper who coaxed me. I had no more interest in getting into a boat again. I had flying to the moon, you know, but he, with his coercion, shall we say, said, "Get your ass back into that boat, quit your gurning." And it was him really that.
And now look where we ended up.
And why was getting back in the boat? It might seem like an obvious answer, but why was getting back into the boat such a big thing and such a helpful thing to you mentally?
Well, really, you thought your life was over. You know, that was the bottom line. You know, I'd lost everything that I was. I was always a very practical character, you know, and I do my best now, you know, but I was always fixing motorcycle engines, fixing this, fixing that, plumbing this, plastering walls, renovating houses. You know, I was a very active individual. And then to go from that to being a one-armed man, but that was the hardest thing to cope with, like I say, the mental aspect of that. And Sailability helped me to realise really that my life wasn't over.
Truly, truly inspirational. And Ken, you're the RAA regional coordinator for Sailability over here. You've presumably seen a lot of stories, you know, like Gary's, where people have seen Sailability and it's had a transformative effect.
Absolutely, and I mean, I've only done this since Bob retired. Bob's retired now 2-3 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So Bob got told him to get his ass into a boat, and he's got me in the whole handle now because I'm now the coordinator for the region. But I must admit, I really enjoy it, and enjoy going around the different Loch Erne and Belfast Loch, and we're trying to get another sort of base of some description set up along the north coast as well. And you know, I was up in Belfast on Saturday there, and while I was there, I got coaxed into sailing one of the Hanses with them, taking somebody out, and a couple of guys out in the Hanses, met a few of the nice lads up in Carrick Ferguson and Belfast Lock Sailability on Saturday. So yeah, I just love meeting people, but I find that people with disabilities, I think we were sort of discussing this earlier on, you know, people who are totally able-bodied, when they meet somebody who's got a disability, you know, as you very aptly put it, sometimes they treat them as if they're 3 or 4 year old, when most of them are quite compos mentis and they're quite capable of doing a lot of things, and they're more determined probably than most of us are, because you know, they have to overcome certain things to do anything. But the fact that they can get in a boat, and the great thing about sailing is whenever they're in the dinghies, it doesn't matter what disability you have. Should it be Gary with one arm, or should it be somebody up there with cerebral palsy, or somebody with autism, or whatever, they can all sail and they can all compete together. And
they love it.
They love it. And the whole sensory thing as well too, you see, because you've got the sound of the water, you've got the breeze, you're out in the fresh air. And these are things that are really big for them. It's a big thing for them to get out in the open air. And the fact that they're out in the water, and so many people are afraid of water, and once they realise that it's a safe pastime and it's a great sport, they just love coming back to it then. So
you sort of joke in a bit of a tongue in cheek way that you've been roped into it over the years and you're still here. But presumably seeing the joy, and I'll maybe ask this to both of you, seeing the joy that people with disabilities of various kinds have when they're out in a boat,
well,
is an inspiration and something which
keeps you out. Exactly, yeah, because funny, whenever Gary was saying there about whenever Bob and Ann Taylor and the whole lot of them all come down from Belfast Lough Sailability, and they brought all their equipment down, well, big, you know, it was a whole military operation for them to do that, and, you know, we can never thank them enough for that. But they arrived down, and a group of them stayed overnight in the city hotel here in Derry. And because it had such an effect on us, because I had never been out sailing with disabled people before, and you know, there was young kids there who were squealing with delight. And you know, whenever we saw, you know, the effect that it had on them, and you know, the good that we could do. And obviously, in Gary's point, you know, that done him the power of good as well, too, both mentally and physically. But when we saw that, I think Bob invited us all over, anybody that wanted to go over for a pint after the event on that night that they were staying there. And we went over, and, you know, we met guys there. Bill Foster was there.
Bill Foster.
Bill's blind, and Bill was taking people out and sailing round the foil, and we were just overcome. We just thought, this is amazing, you know.
Yeah, you said to me earlier from that evening, you were just hooked.
Yeah, just hooked, because, you know, we could see everybody was on a level playing field, even when we're sitting afterwards, because everybody's talking about the sailing, and we're all just, you know, for that moment, we're all sailors. And I think that's brilliant for the whole lot of us.
It's a leveler,
yeah. Yeah, very good leveler, yeah, it was good. So I blame Gary Crawlers and Bob Harper.
And Gary probably blames you. But Gary, you talked earlier quite emotionally about, you know, how you thought after your accident, that was your life over.
Yeah.
But history tells a different tale. Your life wasn't over, and you've done some pretty extraordinary things since then. Probably almost most extraordinary sail across the Atlantic and back, the second time being on your own, which is incredible, and the first time being with Ken, which is possibly more incredible,
and Amy. So I was on with two nutcases.
but what really, you know, made you want to do that, and what was your feelings?
Well, it was always my dream to sail around the world, and luckily enough, a man in the Citroen Picasso met up with my motorbike and made that possible, or made it, gave me the wherewithal to do it, you know. Like, I could never have afforded a boat that size, you know, to achieve my dream, you know. So every cloud has got a silver lining, so they say, you know. So I just
had... But it takes quite something to go, okay, I've got one arm and I'm going to sail across the Atlantic. I've sailed across the Atlantic. We talked earlier about how in the big ocean swell, even doing simple things like chopping an onion are incredibly difficult, you would not believe.
Yeah.
And doing
don't
that one-handed start him. But it, you know, surely that took a lot of sort of mental strength to go, okay, I'm just going to do it.
Undoubtedly it did, yeah. But I didn't just set off you know, willy nilly and says, right, I'm going to do this. I did spend.
Did a couple of weeks practice.
I had to. We had.
Did a couple of laps around the foil bed.
No, but we did. We did do things like we did. We did a circumnavigation of Ireland over a period of 9 days, and that was hard going.
Ryan Ireland
in the dark. You know, we sailed. You know, we sailed to all the sailability centres and stopped at all 5 sailability centres on the way, and we were doing meeting and greeting and partying all day, and then back into the boat and away again overnight.
During the night,
you know. So it was an enjoyable trip, you know. But that was part and parcel of me preparing to see whether I was fit and able to run a boat. And to, all right, I had plenty of assistance of people on the boat, you know. But you still doubt yourself, you know, when you've been knocked for six, you know. So it was all part and parcel about getting my confidence together again, you know, to go further afield, you know. So
and going back on your own, sailing back across the Atlantic.
Yeah.
What were the big challenges there?
Well, I kept hoping that I wouldn't have to, you know, because it was a bittersweet pill to swallow, you know. Like I always would. I'd done a bit of single-handed sailing when I had two hands, but none of them were particularly long. The biggest single-handed journey I ever did before that was from Lewis back down to Harrison Lewis down to Coleraine on a friend's boat to Tuchill, and that was my longest ever single-handed passage, and I had two hands. But whenever COVID hit in 2019, you know, I was weeks away from heading over to Colombia and then through the Panama and further afield, get myself out to Polynesia and the Tuamotus and them big boys on Easter Island looking out over where'd everybody go, you know, that big stone statues and I don't know.
It's like David Attenborough's in the room with us.
Yeah, that's right. So it gave me the opportunity to do a long single-handed passage, which I was looking forward to, but the downside of it was, you know, I was really giving up.
It
was the wrong direction, you know. Like, but I didn't really have any other option.
Don't forget, you had a daughter getting married as well too. So yeah,
yes.
it's good to get back for those sort of things. But you talked about going up the mast.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to go up the mast with one arm.
I had to go up the mast with one arm, but I had before. I always recognised that was going to be an issue, you know, with the one arm going up the mast. So I had to come up with some mechanism, you know, and lucky enough I had an electric winch and I had a spare remote control unit which I had on board as a spare for...
Bought off eBay for $12.99.
It's
good to have high quality gear on.
100%. You really do need... You know, I did...
When your life depends on it.
Oh, yeah. But so I cobbled that onto the electric winch, so I was able to drive the electric winch by the remote control. So I was able to go up the mast with my climbing gear hooked onto the mainsail, to the spinnaker halyard, and go up that, and use the remote control with my teeth to drive the electric winch. So I was able to go up the mast there and fix whatever needed to be fixed up there. But then the downside of it is, how the hell do you get down again? Because the winch only goes one direction, it's not reversible. So then you have to change over to the other permanent halyard and unclip from the spinnaker and then come down on that through a gree-gree. Yeah. So it was an interesting few hours.
Tom Cruise, eat your heart out.
As far as that now. But, you know...
I couldn't do it with two arms, never mind one.
But I had practiced it out, you know, in the Caribbean before I left, you know, because I knew there was a possibility. But... Anyway, at least I didn't have to go all the way up the top of the mast. I only had to go up just above the cross trees, I think it was, you know. But I still could have done without it, you know. Like, it was black and blue at the end.
We all could have.
Yeah.
But if people are listening to this, maybe ask Ken this first. If people are listening to this, you know, and they've got a disability of any kind, we stress that, and they're maybe a bit on the fence of why they should try sailability, what would be your kind of message to them?
My message would be definitely give it a go, because we have seen, Gary and I have seen, so many people with so many different disabilities, mental disabilities, physical disabilities, and to see how they overcome those things. Should it be getting them in physically into the boat? That can be difficult at times, but you know, most of the sailability centres, we can get them into the boat, and once they're in that boat, then they're on a level footing with everybody else. So they can go, and you know, a lot of them can become very competent sailors as well. You know, it's not just a matter of there's a lot. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people who are just quite happy to bob about in the water, and that does amazing things for them, and it's brilliant. But there are quite a lot of the disabled sailors and well, throughout the world, never mind Northern Ireland, but certainly the ones that we know in Northern Ireland, there's quite a few very capable sailors. And I would tell anybody, no matter what kind of disability they have, should it be visual impairment, should it be physical impairment or mental, give it a go and try it, and I guarantee you'll have an absolute ball.
And Gary?
I've forgotten the question already. I'll just
say what you like then.
when Foyle Sailability first started, we ran like 3 events a year. Yeah. That was it. And it was a big...
It had to be 50, 60 people
all at once in one day, you know. And that worked quite well, but since I took over, I've wanted to try and expand that with having more regular sailing, because it's not just about the sailing. There's a huge social element, socialising element to it as well, you know. And we've got people involved, and they're disabled, and they're not interested in sailing whatsoever. They're just interested in pottering about in fixing engines or helping with trailers or just helping out. And you know, so we've got a huge spectrum of jobs that need done as well, so we can slot people in anywhere. And like I say, the social aspect of it is very, very important. Whenever you're disabled, it can be a very isolated place, you know. So the social aspect of it is very important.
Well, gents, your passion and your enthusiasm for sailability is truly inspiring. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast today. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Peter. It was nice meeting you.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Crest of the Wave podcast. If you have any questions about sailability, please contact our Active Clubs coordinator, Lisa McCaffrey, by emailing lisa.mccaffrey@rya.org.uk. Take care of yourself until you hear from me next time on the Crest of the Wave podcast.